My Bondage and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass. Editor's Preface. If the volume now presented to the public were a mere work of art, the history of its misfortune might be written in two very simple words: too late. The nature and character of slavery have been subjects of an almost endless variety of artistic representation, and after the brilliant achievements in that field, and while those achievements are yet fresh in the memory of the million, he who would add another to the legion must possess the charm of the transcendent excellence, or apologize for something worse than rashness. The reader is therefore assured with all due promptitude that his attention is not invited to a work of art, but to a work of facts. Facts, terrible and almost incredible, it may be, yet facts nevertheless. I am authorized to say that there is not a fictitious name nor place in the whole volume, but that names and places are literally given, and that every transaction therein described actually transpired. Perhaps the best preface to this volume is furnished in the following letter of Mr. Douglass, written in answer to my urgent solicitation for such a work. Rochester, New York, July 2, 1855. Dear friend, I have long entertained, as you very well know, a somewhat positive repugnance to writing or speaking anything for the public which could, with any degree of plausibility, make me liable to the imputation of seeking personal notoriety for its own sake. Entertaining that feeling very sincerely, and permitting its control, perhaps quite unreasonably, I have often refused to narrate my personal experience in public anti-slavery meetings, and in sympathizing circles when urged to do so by friends with whose views and wishes ordinarily it were a pleasure to comply. In my letters and speeches, I have generally aimed to discuss the question of slavery in the light of fundamental principles and upon facts notorious and open to all, making, I trust, no more of the fact of my own former enslavement than circumstances seemed absolutely to require. I have never placed my opposition to slavery on a basis so narrow as my own enslavement, but rather upon the indestructible and unchangeable laws of human nature, every one of which is perpetually and flagrantly violated by the slave system. I have also felt that it was best for those having histories worth the writing, or supposed to be so, to commit such work to hands other than their own. To write of one's self in such a manner as not to incur the imputation of weakness, vanity, and egotism, is a work within the ability of but few, and I have little reason to believe that I belong to that fortunate few. These considerations caused me to hesitate when first you kindly urged me to prepare for publication a full account of my life as a slave and my life as a freeman. Nevertheless, I see with you many reasons for regarding my autobiography as exceptional in its character, and as being in some sense, naturally, beyond the reach of those reproaches which honorable and sensitive minds dislike to incur. It is not to illustrate any heroic achievements of a man, but to vindicate a just and beneficent principle in its application to the whole human family by letting in the light of truth upon a system esteemed by some as a blessing and by others as a curse and a crime. I agree with you that this system is now at the bar of public opinion, not only of this country, but of the whole civilized world, for judgment. Its friends have made for it the usual plea, not guilty. The case must therefore proceed. Any facts, either from slaves, slaveholders, or bystanders, calculated to enlighten the public mind by revealing the true nature, character, and tendency of the slave system, are in order, and can scarcely be innocently withheld. I see, too, that there are special reasons why I should write my own biography in preference to employing another to do it. Not only is slavery on trial, but unfortunately, the enslaved people are also on trial. It is alleged that they are naturally inferior, that they are so low in the scale of humanity and so utterly stupid that they are unconscious of their wrongs and do not apprehend their rights. Looking, then, at your request from this standpoint, and wishing everything of which you think me capable to go to the benefit of my afflicted people, I part with my doubts and hesitation, and proceed to furnish you the desired manuscript, hoping that you may be able to make such arrangements for its publication as shall be best adopted to accomplish that good which you so enthusiastically anticipate. Frederick Douglass. There was little necessity for doubt and hesitation on the part of Mr. Douglass as to the propriety of his giving to the world a full account of himself. A man who was born and brought up in slavery, a living witness of its horrors, who often himself experienced its cruelties, and who, despite the depressing influences surrounding his birth, youth, and manhood, has risen from a dark and almost absolute obscurity to the distinguished position which he now occupies, might very well assume the existence of a commendable curiosity on the part of the public to know the facts of his remarkable history. The Editor. The end of the editor's preface to My Bondage and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass. Read by Rick Kistner. For Lit to Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.